It's hard to believe, isn't it? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus. When Luke wrote his gospel, he was probably in Rome. And I wonder how the Romans reacted to the news that Jesus of Nazareth rose from the dead. So that's what he's telling them. And Luke knew that in Greece, the philosophers thought it was a huge joke and laughed Paul to scorn and dismissed him. We'll hear you again on this matter. And the world today around us is not persuaded that Jesus rose from the dead. And neither were the disciples. If you go back over Luke chapter 24, you'll see that the disciples took some persuading. Luke doesn't hide from us that they were not initially convinced. It says when the women came and told them, it says their words seemed to them like idle tales. And they did not believe them. They did not believe them. And when our Lord comes into that upper room, he speaks to them. He says this: "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts?" So you can see that our Lord wanted there to be no doubt at all in the hearts of his disciples. He wanted them to know and be sure that he was risen from the dead. And God and the Lord Jesus Christ gave to his disciples many proofs of the certainty of his resurrection. If you think over the texts that we just read, there's the stubborn fact of the empty tomb. That's the first thing. There, the tomb is empty. Now, some people said, they got the wrong tomb. That's nonsense. Luke is very careful, and John, to say that the women knew exactly which tomb it was. There's no confusion. There was the tomb, and there was no body. And that's the first thing they are confronted with. Where have you laid him? Where is he? But then, almost before they've got a minute to think, the second proof is the words of the angels. They were not left at an empty tomb wondering. Two angels from heaven came and told them exactly what had happened. Listen. Why do you seek these amazing words? I love these words. Why do you seek the living among the dead? You're looking in the wrong place for him. He is not here, but is risen. He is risen. That's the word of God through his angels from heaven. He is risen. But he goes on. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. So not only are they faced with the reality of the empty tomb, but they have a clear declaration from the angels that he is risen. And then thirdly, more than one of the Gospels, Luke particularly, notices that there, lying in the tomb, were the grave clothes or the linen that was wrapped around his body. Now that's a very telling piece of evidence. There are the grave clothes. He doesn't need those anymore. As the hymn put it, the folded grave clothes. And these were some of the proofs that the disciples and the women faced straight away. But there were two more proofs in that chapter which leaves the matter beyond contradiction. The first is that the disciples saw him. They saw him. They had the evidence of their own eyes. First of all, you have these two on the road to Emmaus, that 7-mile journey where he was speaking to them for that journey, or most of that journey. And they saw him, they met him, as it were, as they sat at supper. And then he appears in the midst, the passage that I read to you after David. Jesus himself stood in the midst. But still seeing him, still, as it were, doubts clearly were arising in their hearts. And so the Lord Jesus says to them, well, come and touch me. You can feel that I have bones. I am like you. This is a real resurrection. See my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. They could touch him and they could see him eating that food in front of them. And I have to say that there were many other times in those days when the disciples saw the Lord, and Luke has just not recorded them in his gospel for us. But they saw him alive after his death. But then the fifth thing that I would mention to you is this, that many, many times, and this is really important, many, many times the death and resurrection of our Lord were predicted. If you read chapter 24 of Luke again, you'll notice how many times he refers to this being written in the Old Testament, or that the Lord himself had spoken to them of these things. So you have, if you like, two kinds of predictions before the cross and before the resurrection. It says in when the angel spoke to them right at the beginning, listen, remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, right? This is long before he was still in Galilee. He hadn't even come down to Jerusalem. He says, look, the Son of Man, these are his words, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. He told them himself, he spoke to them about it. But he also in this chapter, you can see that on more than one occasion, Jesus reminds them that these things were already written in the Old Testament. Now, this is very telling. The Old Testament was finished roughly about 400 years before Christ. So all this had been written down 400 years or so beforehand. It had even been translated into Greek and spread around the whole world so that everywhere this could be read. There it was, written in the Old Testament, that he would rise from the dead. Now, there was no way of changing it. It was written. One thing about scripture is you can't change it. The generation we're in today doesn't like what they read in the Bible, but unfortunately for them, it was written a long time ago and it cannot be changed. This could not be changed either. The resurrection of Jesus was foretold and written down for everyone to know about it. And if you read this chapter again, you'll hear words like this. Look. And he said to them, this is to the road, the two on the road, O foolish ones, listen, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And listen, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And later they say this, as they reflect on that conversation, they say this, did not our heart burn within us as he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? And that is, if you like, the testimony of the Holy Spirit within them. As Jesus was explaining the scriptures to them, their hearts burned. In other words, they really knew what he was saying. I want you to notice that these men and the disciples, all their lives, they had heard the scriptures read week after week after week. But amazingly, they had not understood it. And all through our Lord Jesus' life, he also had heard the scriptures read, but he understood it. He knew that these scriptures were speaking of himself and his death for sinners and his resurrection from the dead. Towards the end of the chapter, when he gathers with the 11, he says this to them. He says, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you." So he said, "Remember, I told you these things ahead of time, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." And these are some of the guarantees of the truth of the resurrection. Now, when this man Luke, who wrote this gospel, he wrote a second book, the Acts of the Apostles. And when he wrote the Acts of the Apostles, he went a bit further on these proofs. He said to them right at the beginning that God had given them, listen, many infallible proofs. These words, many infallible proofs. In other words, there can be no doubt left. And Luke then goes on to speak of the coming of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's persuading testimony to the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so today, that's why we can remember the resurrection of our Lord and know that it is certain and true. No doubt. Now, before I finish, let me say there are two lessons that we ought to take away from this. Sure, we can be absolutely certain of the events, but there are two lessons that we need to take from this. First lesson is this. Our Lord's resurrection was the action of God the Father. Okay? It says everywhere in Scripture that God the Father raised him from the dead. And he did this to show to us that Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay? Jesus is Lord. When Luke writes his second book, he says this, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, this is the first thing that we need to take in, that Jesus is Lord. That is the confession of the Christian. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he says, no one can say this except by the Spirit of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit teaches us to call him Lord. This is the Christian confession. Jesus is Lord. Let me say this, the Christian confession is a bit more than that. It's not just Jesus is Lord, but with Thomas, it is Jesus is my Lord and my God. When we think of him, it's not just, so to speak, that he is Lord there, but he is Lord here. The Christian who acknowledges Jesus as Lord will speak like Thomas, my Lord and my God. Now, our Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples about this. And he said to them once, he said, It's not even a question of calling me Lord. There are many who will call me Lord, but it is a question of doing what I tell you to do. It is a question of obedience. In other words, out of the resurrection comes this a crucial truth that Jesus is the Lord of our lives, whom we ought to obey, whom we ought to serve. We ought to bow the knee to this Lord Jesus. So let's not say Jesus is my Lord and then ignore what he said to us. Let us learn his commandments and honour him in reality by doing them. So that's the first thing. The first thing is, he is risen, he is Lord. Let me ask you before I go to my second point. Is he your Lord? Is that true of you? Let me ask you, do you call him Lord? Well, let me ask you this. Can you say with Thomas, my Lord and my God? Can you say that? Is that true? And is that borne out in your lives? Does it make a difference to your lives? Are you living as obedient disciples of the Lord Jesus? This is the question that it puts to us this morning. He is risen. Praise God, he is risen. Do we not delight that he is risen? And he is, for all of us who believe in him, he is our Lord. And we seek to follow him. We seek to treasure his commandments. But then, that's the first thing. God has declared that his Son is Lord. And then secondly, when God raised him from the dead, he gave us proof that the sacrifice of Jesus was successful. Right? Let me put it this way. The resurrection is the guarantee of the atonement. You understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is this. When Jesus died at Calvary, he made atonement for our sins. Now, if that atonement had not been sufficient, if God had not accepted that atonement, there would have been no resurrection. Think about it for a moment. Peter, in that sermon, he says, it was not possible that he should be held by death. In other words, when the Lord Jesus died and was buried, it was impossible that he should remain there. Now, why did death have no power over him? Why did death have power over him in the first place? Well, because he bore our sins. It was our sins that he bore to Calvary. He died for our sins. And if our sins had not been blotted out, if our sins had remained on him, then he would have remained in the grave. But he did not. You see, our sins, our guilt, put him there. But his blood was for our atonement, and his blood was accepted by God for our atonement. And that is what you can take away from the resurrection. You know, this morning, this weekend, these last few days, Friday, we thought of his crucifixion. We went over the events as Luke records them. And this morning, we have moved on to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the great effects of these things upon us, if we believe in him, is that we might respond to him with love. These things were done for us. These things were done for you and me, that we might be forgiven and brought to God. This is for our faith. We come here to think about his resurrection so that we might have our faith strengthened and we might live for Christ every day and seek to glorify him. Repentance. You see, towards the end of Luke, Jesus says to them, this is done so that repentance and remission of sins might be preached in the name of Jesus. repentance and remission of sins. So, the fact that Jesus died, the fact that he has risen from the dead, is no good to us if it doesn't lead us to repentance, so that we consider our ways and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and turn to God in him. These things must be preached. Repentance, turning from sin, turning back to God, no longer living with your back to God, but living for him. Repentance and remission of sins in his name. And this is why today is such a joyful day. It's a day of victory, a day of salvation, a day of assurance, a day of thankfulness. Well, let us, before we sing our next hymn, it's not on the service sheet, but let me ask the brethren.